Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Not respond to cannonball fire. And the PPD, the sheriff, and the green entourage, they're not going to respond unless there's donuts involved. So.
The green entourage. So last night was the beginning of Fiesta. It's the surrender of the city. It takes place at Seville Quarter. And that was Pensacola Fire Department Deputy Chief Justin Horde. If you're not familiar with this event, it's one of those supremely Pensacola things to me, because it's kitschy, it's weird, it's fun, there's alcohol, alcohol and food, and there's history, but we don't take the history too seriously, and it's a good time. There are a handful of these kinds of events throughout the year. Fiesta, of course, has several of these kinds of events, but this one in particular, it's always enjoyable. The premise here is that we're commemorating the history of Pensacola, going back to Don Tristan Luna, and Don Tristan and the Fiesta forces are coming to invade and take over, and he's going to be the district governor or whatever. And then in the process, of course, all of the existing leaders have to surrender. So Pensacola Fire, Pensacola Police, Gambie Sheriff's Office, the county, the Navy, everybody shows up to surrender. And in the process of doing that, they make jokes, sometimes good jokes, sometimes jokes. you get to go first. And by the way, one of the little things is that over the years, this event has evolved, like many other Fiesta things has kind of evolved. I think it's lost some of its fun, because what it used to be was they'll march in the prisoners, basically, with the drums in the beginning, and they march them in. And it used to be that they were all wearing like these plastic chains and, ball irons and things. And, that used to be the thing. And somewhere in the last couple of years, somebody's like, I don't know, maybe a bunch of people wearing chains in modern society doesn't look so great. I don't know. I always thought that was the cool part. Like, it was all of this tongue-in-cheek kind of historical celebration. So I kind of miss that they have that, because I always thought that was kind of a fun little part of it. Anyway, Deputy Chief had another couple of jokes he made after the, we won't respond to cannonball fire and, the green entourage. That's the Scambi Sheriff's Office, which we love very much. They won't show up unless there's donuts involved. It's a cheap shot, but it's a goodie.
Before I completely surrender, three pieces of advice for you. One, keep the fires on the dance floor. Number two,
fire chief.
Keep the hoses in the reel. It's number two.
Yeah.
Number three, let's not get more lit than a parade float. So.
All right, well done, sir. First time doing it. I like that. Chip Simmons, a stalwart. He's always one of the surrenderers. I guess he's a surrenderer. DeLuna be the surrenderee to whom you surrender. But okay, anyway, he always talks.
I see you've already gotten out of the cuffs.
That's Brent Lane.
Sheriff Chip Simmons from the Escambia County Sheriff's Department. Woo! No stranger to this moment. Enlighten us with this surrender.
Thank you, Brent. Did the firefighter just curtsy? Is that what happened? It's okay.
He did too. He really curtsy bowed. I mean, it was kind of, he was being funny, but then if you're going to make fun of the sheriff's office, the sheriff's going to make fun of you back. Yeah, and there's this, you know, longstanding culture war of sorts, mostly tongue-in-cheek, between fire and law enforcement.
I got a little bone to pick with the Navy. Surprise. They have allowed them to just come right through here without warning. In fact, they were here so fast, the firefighters couldn't hit the snooze button. But it's okay. They didn't pee. It's okay.
They didn't
pee. You know, I thought about surrendering, so I thought about buying me a white flag. But France had bought them all. I know some of y'all are from France. You're going to cost me walking out. You have insulted France. It's true, but you know, what I really mean is, if fighting battles was an athletic event, you wouldn't make the playoffs. It's okay, though.
Nothing like picking on the French, you know? That's fine, all right.
Actually, speaking of some ships, you guys got here pretty quick. Pretty quick sailboats. Let me tell you something, though. If you think you're really quick, we might have a sailboat that's got some free time coming up.
Oh.
Too soon? Too soon? I know. American magic doesn't mean disappear. I'm just telling you, that's the way things are.
Ouch. An American magic joke. Oh, that's kind of a fresh wound. I mean, as the mayor said yesterday, they're not going anywhere, but they're also protesting the America's Cup. That's right, so they may have some extra free time coming in soon. PPD was there and made no jokes. It was Lieutenant Dylan Stackpole. I'm not sure why, you know, chief, deputy chief, none of the captains, they gave it to a lieutenant. And he just, it was very pro forma. It was just, you know, I surrender. Bim, zoom, dum. Which is a safe way. I mean, if you make jokes and it doesn't work, that's worse than not making jokes, right? So, you know, I respect the deference, you know, the decision to, discretion is the better part of valor. Sometimes discretion is like, I'm not funny. I'm not going to try to be funny. I'm just going to get up here and do my thing. And then, you know, you had, the Robert Bender did his thing, and Robert Bender was also, you know, did not particularly try to be funny. The funny one really was, and this is not all that surprising, but Chandra Newman, Mama-san, the commanding officer of NAS Pensacola. And not because she brought jokes, but she brought, it's hard to describe, but I will, okay, because that's my job on the radio. So Brent introduces her.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my particular honor and privilege to introduce on this stage for the very first time your first female commanding officer of NAS Pensacola, Captain Chandra Mama-san.
And I will tell you, it is always cool to me how much we support the Navy, the military. I mean, they get the biggest cheers, right? You know, which is always kind of a cool thing. And she comes out and she's got one of those military sabers, you know, and she unsheathes it and is swinging it around. And I mean, I'm like 5 feet from her, and a saber is like 2.5, 3 feet long. And I'm thinking, what's your rating on this device? How current is your rating on this device as an 06? Anyway, so she's talking, waving the saber.
For 250 years, the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps has protected this country since the Continental Congress. For 199 years, we have been very integrated into this city, and it is our pleasure to welcome you to our shores. However, we don't surrender.
Because she had it kind of laying across her arms the way you would ceremonially give the invading officer your sword, like you're surrendering your weapons. And instead, she grabbed it back, but she did have something to give him in exchange, or instead of the saber.
Instead, I would like to offer a cutlass.
And she holds aloft what can only be described as a ceremonial letter opener.
That is very efficient in opening brave new worlds in my junk mail.
So she's got the sword. Don Tristan's got the little teeny tiny letter opener. And, you know, it made for a pretty good picture.
You can now go about this incredible party in 5 different rooms of food and frivolity. And I will go back with Andrew McKay from News Radio. We will carefully report all of what we've seen here tonight. Breaking news. The city has surrendered to Fiesta. In the name of Don Tristan De Luna, the 74th.
Hey, Dicho. There you go. So, yeah, here I am. You know, I mean, Brent told me to come report on this, so I'm reporting it. You know, we have safely surrendered the city, all but the Navy, so I guess it remains a little bit in limbo. You know, a little bit in limbo. What, Brent? You want to say something?
I got a mention!
Oh, come on! Come on, Brent! Brent is the co-host. He's at the same time, he's over on Cat Pack Morning Show every morning. Of course, he's been doing this for 18 years?
That was my 18th, yeah.
Wow.
Took off for the
nice. No, but you've been here in Pensacola 18.
20 years,
and that was your 18th surrender of the city.
Yeah.
75th. Fiesta.
It's actually the 76th Fiesta with the 75th court because of COVID.
Because
that
of COVID.
One year.
Because your bypass year, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The super court, as you called it last night.
And Mama San did great.
Oh,
does.
My gosh. I was like, I'm going to WWE you. And she's like, I don't know what that means, but I can't wait. So, and so she brought the heat.
No, she was fantastic. And you always do a great job, by the way.
You are very kind.
Brent is the voice, the face. He is Mr. Pensacola. And so anytime there's events, he's always running them. Except when he's in the court and he lets me do it one time. And I'm glad to be out of the obligation.
You know what, man? You did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brent Lane, all I know is my wife goes, I heard your name. Perfect. Yeah,
521 here on News Radio 92.3. So, of course, we have, you know, the Fiesta Parade is coming up tomorrow night. The mayor was letting everybody know on Tuesday and yesterday. Well, I guess mostly Tuesday. You know, roads are going to close at 4, and it's going to be the big perimeter again. So you cannot go in and out of the perimeter, you know, after 4. So don't expect to be able to cross, you know, like on Main Street. That's going to be closed. Also, don't park along the parade route. You know what it is. If you park on the parade route, you're going to have your car towed. But the good news is last time everybody paid attention and nobody got their car towed. So that's pretty good. You know, there's going to come a time somebody's probably going to get. But, you know, don't let it be you. That's it. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And if you are thinking about buying a car because you got yours towed, no, don't. No. Or you just, you know, need a good car, as often it happens. Get a good quality used vehicle at Frontier Motors. You know, one of the things... I don't love to ask this question because I know it can hit a little bit close to home, but do you love your car? And what I mean is, you know, do you really look forward to getting into your car? Are you proud of it? Do you like people to see you driving it? Do you enjoy it? And if the answer is, Andrew, stop asking because no, of course not anymore. Well, you deserve better. You deserve a car that you're going to love. You spend enough time in it, right? You deserve a car that you can enjoy, that you can feel proud of, that you can drive around and look forward to getting into and out of. So go to Frontier and get a not brand new, but a nearly new. You know, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. That's what they specialize in. They'll warranty it to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And really what you can do there is look at all the different options. And you know what? You have my permission. Buy something you'll love. You deserve it. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ain't Too Proud is a celebration that brings the audience to its feet. The Grammy-winning songs, the Tony-winning moves. Ain't Too Proud, the life and times of the Temptations. June 4th and 5th, Pensacola Sanger Theater. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
No, it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've heard worse.
You liar!
Come on, you pansy!
I mean, when was the last time you had a good opportunity to just haul back and wail on somebody by calling them a pansy? Oh, some of these very good words we just don't really use much anymore. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Leave it to Monty Python to remind us of the glory days. Oh, speaking of which, this I wasn't necessarily going to talk about this, but I kind of talked myself into being here. I happened to be watching, because I'm always trying to grab sound clips, you know, that I can use for like those little drops or whatever. I was watching an old Family Feud episode with Richard Dawson from 1976. He used to kiss everybody.
Those were the good years.
I mean, like, every single woman on the show.
Of course. They wanted it. They wanted it.
They would beg for it. They'd be like, oh. And I mean, he'd kiss them not on the cheek. This is like on the lips multiple times. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's real. Back, like, it's very, very weird to watch today. He was, you know, back in the 70s, the glory days of America, when we used to tell our women folk to go on national TV and make out with Richard Dawson repeatedly, and they thanked us for the honor. It was like, really? And, you know, it'd be like the husband and the kids and, you know, oh, he's making out with grandma again, you know, like, and she's thrilled. She's telling all of her friends about it.
I know.
It's a different world. It really is. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I saw your clip. It left me...
It's a little...
A little, yeah, confused.
It's a little... Yeah, I mean, 50 years later, it doesn't necessarily look so great.
It was a little odd. Well, yeah. Here's a few of our headlines today, Andrew. The Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. is reopening just a week now after the deadly shooting that happened outside its doors. Two Israeli embassy staffers, Yaron Leshinsky and Sarah Milgram, were killed there May 21st. That facility is going to reopen following a memorial service this morning for the victims. There's been a possible shark attack off the coast of North Carolina. Yesterday morning, a swimmer was bitten on the leg near Sunset Beach. Rescue crews treated the victim on the scene. There's no word exactly how serious their injuries are. And former reality star Todd Chrisley apparently is no longer at the Pensacola prison facility, the federal prison facility. He was released yesterday. There were a fairly large group of fans apparently waiting outside.
That's amazing to me. I mean, I can, because America never fails to disappoint me, but I just can't believe this is the story.
I was a little confused as to why there were so many people there, but their daughter, Todd Chrisley's daughter, Savannah, was there and waiting for him to be released. She did talk to Channel 3 and actually said there were some reasons for the pardons being issued aside from just her father's fame.
There were Fourth Amendment violations. They accused my family of terrorism just to run a financial report. There were Brady violations. I mean, you name it, it was done in our case. They had my father's face on a dartboard, and that right there is not justice. So I'm ecstatic.
And they released Todd Chrisley yesterday, and he had been convicted of bank fraud in 2022. I believe it was somewhere around the tune of $30 million, they said.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 News Radio 92.3. We have... By the way, in case you did not catch this news yesterday, the 9th Avenue around Brent by Carpenter's Creek is closed right now because of water main break, and it's going to be that way for a couple of days. Just got a note from Mike Wood from PPD says that people, I mean, they're there on scene and basically they're turning people around. So this is between Royce, which is on the south side, and Carpenter's Creek. You can go south from Bayou, but only to Publix, and that's about as far as you can go. Coming from the south, drivers have to make a left onto Royce, which comes back out on the Davis Highway, you know, later on. You can go north from there, but because it kind of gets around on the high ground a little bit. But just be aware that 9th Avenue is going to be a mess for a couple of days, and that's not going to go away at like 10 a.m. You know, that's going to be that way for the expectation right now is for a couple of days. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we... Oh, Elon Musk is leaving the administration. He's on his exit interviews, his outboarding or offboarding or offshoring, or I don't know what they call it anymore, but they always have some new euphemism for this process. He, you know, I guess it didn't quite work out for him the way he was hoping. The original goal was, what, $2 trillion in cuts and then... $1 trillion in cuts, and then, but I'll settle for $150 billion. I'm not even quite sure if they got that high, but he's going to go back to, you know, private life and what? Doing boring things. It's the boring company. And SpaceX and, you know, Tesla, which has languished in his relative absence, basically. He had a recent bit of a semi-falling out with Trump over policy and the tax bill, but he says they still get along great. He says the Doge mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. We'll see, but he wanted to thank Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's wide-ranging import tariffs are blocked by the U.S. Court of International Trade. It's a federal court that hears civil lawsuits involving international trade law.
The three-judge panel says the president's actions do not fall under the Emergency Powers Act. The White House says it will appeal. We heard from a spokesperson overnight who told Fox it is not for unelected judges to decide how to properly address a national emergency. President Trump pledged to put America first, and the administration is committed to using every lever of executive power to address this crisis and restore America. American greatness.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Elon Musk says goodbye to the White House, but says the Doge cost-cutting team's work continues.
Musk thanked President Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending here in Washington. As a special government employee, Musk can only work for the administration for 130 days in a single calendar year.
Fox's Kevin Cork. That limit's hit tomorrow. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 71 degrees, cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Escambia County District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger hosted a town hall meeting yesterday for beach residents to discuss traffic issues.
We had a great meeting around how the traffic camera on the beach operates, what the priorities are as far as getting people on and off the beach safely. We took public input, we addressed problems from the community, and we were able to answer a lot of questions on how the plan for the lights and the timings actually work.
And during that meeting, Hoffberger received a lot of feedback from beach residents. And they also discussed other issues affecting District 4 residents. Now, Pensacola police say that motorcycle crash on Gregory Street appears to have been caused by the rider and another driver racing across the bridge on Tuesday as they came into Pensacola. The driver of a Ford Mustang was able to slow down, but the motorcycle was not able to and lost control. PPD's Mike Wood does say officers encounter street racing occasionally here.
And it's something that we don't tolerate. And when we see it, citations are issued. So we have officers on the bridge constantly. Our traffic division, we have marked and unmarked vehicles on the bridge constantly, and we're writing tickets for this. So it's something that we are aware of. It's very dangerous, and you can see here what the result was for this victim.
And Wood says the rider was taken to the hospital in serious condition last night. The Mustang involved has been towed by PPD to further their investigation. Wood does say charges are possible in this case. Escambia County deputies are investigating after reports of several mailboxes being destroyed in Molino last weekend. Officials say at least six of them were damaged.
Every couple months, really, we'll have a report that an individual got their mailbox tore up. It's not as common as it used to be. I remember growing up, oftentimes you'd see, you know,
hillbilly baseball
cars that are
yep.
that will drive by and take care of mailboxes. I think the mailboxes are, a lot of them are concrete now and bricks, and a little difficult. And plus, there's so many cameras around.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, residents tell Channel 3 they believe the damage happened early in the morning in the areas of Sunshine Hill, Crabtree Church, Chestnut, and Gibson Roads. Investigators believe it may have been done by somebody driving past in a vehicle or ATV, then hitting the mailboxes with a bat. If you have any information or security footage that would be helpful in the investigation, contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have showers and thunderstorms today with a 90% chance of rain, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Wet pattern continues for Friday with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 86. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Saturday, rain chances drop down, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 83. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 72 degrees. It is cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A U.S. trade court has blocked most of President Trump's tariffs in a sweeping ruling that found the president overstepped his authority by imposing across-the-board duties on imports from U.S. trading partners. The U.S. dollar rallied following the court's order. Wall Street futures also rose. Nippon Steel investors and analysts are asking if its $15 billion deal to buy U.S. steel, backed but not yet approved by President Trump, is positive for the near term, even if it hopes for strong U.S. demand to materialize. President Trump has said the planned partnership would create at least 70,000 jobs and add $14 billion to the U.S. economy via Nippon Steel's additional investments. NVIDIA has beaten quarterly sales expectations as customers stockpiled its AI chips before the fresh U.S. curbs on China exports took effect. However, those same restrictions will slice off $8 billion in sales from the company's current quarter, forcing the company to offer a forecast below Wall Street estimates. Futures are sharply higher. That's Your Money Now.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. A little bit of weather, not exactly on us, but kind of all around us at the moment. Taking a look at the News Radio ThreatNet radar. To our east, there's a relatively significant line of storms. That's what came through kind of earlier today. But, you know, it's over like Okaloosa, Walton County at the moment. But there's sort of surrounding us, there's stuff. So we may have some pop-up showers throughout the morning. Just be aware that it's a weird and wet conditions a little bit today. Yesterday, had a good opportunity to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we always do on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
Hey, great to have you. Let's start with American Magic, because, you know, Yes. The headline seemed a little bit ominous. American Magic is protesting the America's Cup. And, you know, first, I think, reaction, and you saw this from people online, was, you know, oh, God, the mayor spent all this money and brought American Magic here, and now they're not even a team anymore, you know, some variation on that. So let's instead deal with what actually happened. We'll start with it. What actually happened, and does it mean anything for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the ability to clarify to your point.
number one, you know, we have these things called contracts. So I promise there will be no investment by the state or by Triumph or by anyone else that could just be flipped on a switch and then not all of a sudden be viable. So that's first and foremost. What I want to say is there will be no impact to operations, to the obligations of American Magic, to Warehouse 10, which is full steam ahead right now. Every time I go in, they're making awesome progress in there. So all of that is completely unaffected by this, what I would really consider a negotiation. And if you follow it, the America's Cup team, American Magic, is not the only America's Cup team that is putting out the same statement. I think there's some kind of show of solidarity by the challengers that feel like some things are one-sided and that this is just part of that process. So I'm in constant communication with them every single day almost. They notified me of this before it was going to come out, that just to say, hey, heads up, this is kind of where we are. So I'm going to have patience and we're going to let it play out. If for some reason the America's Cup can't figure it out, then this team is, and this organization is committed to sailing at the highest level of international sailing possible. And there are many options for that are outside of the America's Cup. So everything's full steam ahead. We certainly want them to get that all worked out, but it has no impact on the project.
All right. So what I hear you saying is that even if this issue with the America's Cup as an organization or as an event doesn't work out with our particular team, America's Magic, there are all kinds of other availabilities to sail at a high level. And even maybe somebody creates a whole new alternative system as well, which that all makes perfect sense to me. Oh, by the way, I have a suggestion. Yeah. Maybe full steam ahead isn't the right metaphor for a sailing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, wind ahead. I guess.
Yeah, strong winds ahead, fair winds and following seas. Yeah. I think it's good to step back because I think the like top line, but like what the average person is thinking is, well, that's all American Magic is here to do is be the headquarters for this big race that they do, and maybe they don't realize all of the different dimensions that this deal brings to Pensacola, to the port, with connections to UWF. Can you just maybe, I don't know, lay out the grand structure aside from the racing. What is the American Magic deal really all about?
Yeah, well, I'll start with, when I talk about American Magic right now at a Rotary Club or a function, the thing I say is I expect that in the next 3 years, we're going to be talking about this amazing manufacturing cluster that happens to sail just as much as we're talking about a sailing team that happens to manufacture. As we are on this phone call today, there are space companies working with American Magic to make composite parts right now in a temporary warehouse while we're waiting on Warehouse 10. They're building boats right now to the best of their ability in temporary setup. So that's why we have the 170 or 125 job count obligated to them is a non-issue. And that's why, yes, there are so many different parts to this. And I think that we're just scratching the surface of what the totality of their impact could be, because when they were given these grant funds and when we had this agreement, there were no promises made about all of this intense manufacturing across all these different fronts. And that has become so big for them, they can't even keep up with demand right now, and that's why they need to hurry up and really get in this space. So Pensacola State, they've already hired 3 Pensacola State students, I think 2 or 3 already. UWF, like you said, already has an engineering partnership. So remember, this is the Center for Maritime Excellence. This is not just a hangar to put an America's Cup boat, right? That's one part of the big ecosystem that American Magic brings, and that's why we're so excited to have them.
And it's jobs, it's education, it's pipeline for shipbuilding and shipbuilding technology, which we just had a guy from the, kind of affiliated with the Trump administration that's looking to renovate, you know, maritime shipbuilding, yep, come to, you know, speak about this at the Yacht Club last week, and it was a great event for Maritime Day. Like, this is a much bigger issue, a much bigger puzzle/opportunity than merely American Magic sailing in this one big high-profile race. And that's why I wanted to make sure people were aware of that. Because, you know, as many times as you've told that story and as many times as, you know, we've tried to tell it, and maybe PNJ and WAR have as well, it still may not quite percolate to people, because what they see is, oh, fast boat on the water, you know, like, and that's all they really think about. And that's why I wanted to spend a minute on it. It was late on Thursday after a long conversation about CISA and the Rafferty Center and Frankly, I'm going to cover that a lot in depth tomorrow. I found it kind of a baffling conversation, frankly, because I'm with you. It seemed to make good sense. You know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but okay. But at the end of all of that, very low-profile item towards the end about annexing some property into the city, and it has to do with the O'Reilly's Bar and some of the controversy surrounding that lately. Can you explain? Because I thought this was a very interesting little story about how to solve a problem. What happened here?
Yeah, so this has been an issue for both the sheriff's department and the police department for years, that if there was an incident at O'Reilly's on Creighton Road, that the building itself and one part of the parking lot was in the city and another part of the parking lot was in the county. And so quite literally, as simple as it sounds, if something happens, if there's an incident in the parking lot, who shows up? And that would cause delay and confusion and, you know, who has jurisdiction and all of those types of things. And so, of course, our sheriff partners and our sheriff's department partners and our police department, you know, work well together and figure it out. But it's just it caused a lot of efficiency issues and lack of clarity. So I called the owner and said, hey, would you mind annexing your other parking lot into the city? That's better for you as the owner. You know, remember, this is speaking former bar and restaurant owner
yeah.
to another, you know, to say, hey, because, you know, you might have a bad week or have a bad incident. But listen, as a bar owner, what you want public safety, too. You want your guests to feel safe. You want all of those things. So this is not we did not have to argue over this. You know, it was saying, hey, we're going to have better safe public safety outcomes for you if we just have the entire piece of property and your parking lot all inside the city. So they agreed to that voluntarily, you know, said, hey, thank you for reaching out. And we were able to make that happen. So, you know, it took a few months, of course, to get that going. So I know there's been some local media reports up there lately. That was not a knee jerk reaction to that. We've been working on this for several months, but we've gotten that figured out. And I think the neighborhood's better off for it. The business is better off for it. And the community's better off for it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty elegant solution to a problem I didn't even know existed, which is, you know, who's responsible, who enforces, you know, where's the jurisdictional lines? And, I mean, look, we have, you know, agreements between the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and PPD where they can interact. It's not right. that big of an issue, but it does simplify things in terms of who's responsible. You give me an idea that I know is completely absurd, but when I say it, you're going to laugh because it almost does make sense, and I think people will laugh as well. Have you ever considered the possibility of a bright blue and teal, colors of the city, line that goes all around the city limits so we can actually tell where's Escambia County and where's the city of Pensacola?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know how if we can afford that much paint with all of the jigsaw puzzle.
Hey,
that
ECUA
is,
has surplus
line.
Paint all the time. Why not? Anyway, go ahead. You're saying.
I will say, Andrew, that is one of my favorite explanation non-explanations I have as mayor when someone says why are the city limit lines like that, and I said, heck, great question. I don't know. I don't know how we decided up and down these blocks, and all I know is that part of the west side of town, the ones that cut through 45 degree angles through city blocks, I believe Andrew Jackson put in 1821. So you know, there's not a lot of method to our madness as it pertains to what our city limit lines are. I know that for sure.
I was thinking to myself about, like, on the parking lot, you know, you could have a line, and on one side it says, right. call Sheriff's Department. On the other side it says, call PPD. You know, just like look for the black versus the green, you know, garbage bins or, you know, whatever.
There you go.
Long time coming, still not quite over the finish line, but July, what, 14th, you're going to have recycling. First approval happened on Thursday. Next approval will happen at the next city council meeting. Is that right?
That's right. So we're shooting right now for July 14th to be the first week where you will have recycling.
Bastille Day.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly why we planned it, Andrew.
Celebrating our French heritage, see?
Exactly. So that would be when you could first get service. So if you work backwards from that, you'll get inundated with mail and social media and all of that in the month of June, and you'll be able to opt in. So that means your can will show up sooner than that. I can't tell you exactly what day, depending on when you opt in and what neighborhood you're in. But
sure.
But the goal is that the first week of service for opt-in recycling will be July 14th. So again, this will probably be your last week of reprieve before we are inundating you with all of the recycling information. But again, we wanted the council to at least have an opinion on the pricing structure and all that before we went out and sent a bunch of mail. So
and very soon we will be repatriating all of those bins from underneath I-110 from the temporary ICE detention center that they are suffering in right now, and they can eventually go back into use in the neighborhoods. I'm looking
That's
forward
right.
to that. Yeah, I kind of. Now we'll save it for next time. Well, no, there was a big argument, at least from Charles Baer, that in response to this, $15 million lawsuit settlement that you're going to pay to all the ratepayers in the past with the, you know, Pensacola Energy. And he says, well, I will definitely not vote for a rate increase to offset the cost. We're just going to have to make it up some other way. He does not speak for the administration and the whole council on this, right?
Of course not. And also, you know, you have to understand Pensacola Energy at the end of the day is owned by the citizens. So meaning this is not a private company that is going, yes, there's separate decisions, but this is something that is owned and operated by the city of Pensacola, therefore by the taxpayer. There are certain rules around how much you have to have in reserves. I mean, there are things that are outside. This is not just a flippant decision that if we were to have to raise rates, that we would just do it for the sake of doing it. There are legalities. When you own a utility, there are lots of legalities about what you have to do and what you're supposed to do. And remember, reserves, there's reason reserves are in place.
Right.
What if there's an emergency? What if there's a COVID or hurricane? I mean, there's a reason that protects the taxpayer that the reserves are sufficient. So, you know, there's lots of different things that certainly weren't understood when those comments were being made that we would have to focus on. But, you know, we want to get this lawsuit behind us and then we'll get back to what we decide we need to do. We are always going to be able to protect the taxpayer dollar, especially inside the city limits, and we'll do the best we can to accomplish that.
Well, look forward to that conversation certainly in the future. All right, the lightning round we always end with Mayor D.C. Reeves. A couple of quick lightning round questions. At what level of emptiness do you fill your gas tank? Weekly, at empty, when the light's on, a quarter, a half, when it's cheap, what do you do?
I heard this briefly in the car yesterday. I was hoping you were going to ask me this. I can't remember the last time I filled up my gas tank when the light wasn't on.
Oh, nice.
You know,
run until it's dry,
I mean,
baby.
call me a procrastinator. I don't know, something. But I'm trying. It is a rare. I think it's only on the interstate if I'm already hungry or somebody's got to go to the bathroom anyway, and you might as well fill up at like a quarter. But other than that, city driving, man, I'm not stopping until that light's on.
I like it. That's maximizing your efficiency of not wasting extra time and too many over the course of your life. Phillips, I like it. Do you use Facebook Marketplace to sell things, Craigslist to sell things, eBay? Don't participate in the secondhand economy?
You know what? This is a funny question now that I'm mayor. I used to more often. It's a little difficult now.
I see.
Because when you inquire about, you know, buying a Peloton bike, it turns into like a long conversation, you know, a big long Facebook message back and forth about city issues. So it's a little, you know, I have Sydney step in and do our buying for us on Facebook Marketplace on the sparing time we need to.
Okay. So she does Facebook Marketplace at least. Okay. All right. Very good. And last question, kind of an easy one. What goes on popcorn?
Butter and salt. If you could have one of those movie theater machines at your house that makes the butter that's really bad for you, then that would be even better. But
no, not bad for you. Joyful to your belly.
I see.
Fair enough.
None of those other sprinkles, none of that ranch stuff, none of that.
No foo-foo add-ons. I gotcha. All right.
Exactly.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Always 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have any kind of complex repairs, or I should say repairs to the complex systems inside your home, like heating, air conditioning, electrical, and plumbing, you know, they all are not the same, but they're all kind of roughly in the same vicinity. And so Peden kind of made the decision a long time ago that, you know, do one, do all. And so they do all. And the idea is that if you're having any of those kinds of things done in your home, you can give Peden a call, and they'll take care of you all along the Gulf Coast from Tallahassee to Mobile and anywhere in between for 55 years. Professional, courteous, well-trained people show up on time, good quality products, reliable installation, and then 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's why they have been growing all of these years and why they service so many customers all the time, and you know the name, of course. Air conditioning during May. May is heating up, and you can cool off with a new air conditioning system from Peden. Get $1,500 off plus special financing. Some restrictions may apply. And we are getting really close to the official kickoff of hurricane season, and now you can get a good deal before storm season starts for just the next couple of days in May, $2,500 off. Standby generator through May on a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton generator. Again, some restrictions may apply, but find out more, book an appointment at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorneys' fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, don't miss the Grand Fiesta Parade in downtown Pensacola. Don't miss the crews, high school bands, the King, Queen, and their court. The fun rolls at 7. The Fiesta Boat Parade is Saturday beginning at 1. The best place to catch the colorful parade from land will be from Sanders Beach, Corinne Jones Center, or Plaza de Luna downtown. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Jeannie, you are not even listening to me.
Nag, 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 nag!
Six News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Just taking a quick peek at our News Radio ThreatNet radar. There's a bunch of storms to the east all along, east of Crestview from there to Panama City. Actually, Panama City is in line for a pretty significant line of storms coming up out of the Gulf this morning. But to our, we are kind of in the dry zone at the moment. There might be a little bit of rain around the area, but, you know, more stuff may be coming and popping up. And certainly all along the coast, it's a little bit rough this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The man known as the Devil in the Ozarks is still on the loose. That's the former Arkansas Police Chief Grant Hardin, convicted of murder and rape in 2017, who escaped from a prison on Sunday, apparently by posing as a law enforcement officer. Apparently, he still managed to evade being captured. Police have set up checkpoints in Arkansas all along the highways, and they're working nonstop, they say, to track him down. Harvard is celebrating its 374th commencement today. That's happening, though, with a little bit of tension in the air. The university pushing back against efforts by the Trump administration to ban foreign students from getting visas. Yesterday, Harvard asked a federal judge to step in and stop Homeland Security from pulling its certification to host international students. And after sounding the alarm on air traffic upgrades, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the current House-approved funding isn't cutting it. He says that the outdated tech and low staffing are behind the recent safety issues, and fixing that, he says, is going to take serious money. Duffy says the FAA needs full funding up front to overhaul radar, radio, and telecom systems.
Well, I'm glad to see that he's finally getting off of his Duffy and doing something about it. I felt bad about that as soon as I said it. All right, David, thanks so much for the...
That was good, though. That was good. I like it.
I try not to make name jokes, you know, even though that one's not even a mean one, but just, you know, I try not to make name jokes. Too low hanging fruit. 558 News Radio 92.3. Oh, I was surprised. The whole story about revoking visas of like the Chinese students and controlling the number of foreign students who are in our universities and colleges, all of that. It was an interesting story. I was looking at the data on this. John, want to take a guess at what country has the most students in our universities?
China.
And do you have a guess at the number of students?
10,000.
330,000.
Excuse me?
Yep. 330,000. You want to? Oh, sorry. No, that's actually the number one country. What's the number one? China's number two. What's the number one country? Think of another country with a lot of people.
India?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
India has 330,000.
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
China has 200. Always expect a quiz.
Okay.
China has 277,000. So India is about 30% of all the foreign students.
Wow.
Okay. And China is about 25%. And then the drop off, the third largest country is South Korea at 43,000. So there is a massive drop off from India and China. That means there's about roughly 1 million foreign students in American schools out of a general population of about 20 million students. So about 5% of all of our students are foreign students right now. China alone is 1.5%. That's also an interesting note. If you cut off the foreign students, you decrease the demand on education. I wonder if it's going to have an impact on pricing. Just a thought. Local.